for Parshas Yisro. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people that they have to prepare themselves for Kabbalas HaTorah. This is what we call the Shloshes Yimei Hagbola, the 3 days in which they had to separate themselves from their wives leading up to Kabbalas HaTorah. And this preparation is formulated in the Torah itself with the following words. This is right before the Torah is given. And the Pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe lech el ha'am v'kidashtem hayom u'mechar v'chibastem simlosech v'ayu nechonim liyom ha'shlishi." So they should be ready and prepared for the third day. Now, if we look at the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, "Hayom u'machar." He tells them to have 2 days of preparation. But if you look carefully at Moshe Rabbeinu as he transmits the mandate to the people, it's 3 days. And the Gemara tells the Masechet Shabbos, based on the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, which we accept, that although HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe v'kidashtem hayom u'machar, which means only 2 days, but Yom Echad Hosif Moshe Midato. Moshe went ahead and he added a third day. So it turns out like that. According to the calculation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, talking to the people of Israel on a Wednesday morning, they would prepare Hayom, Wednesday, and Mochar on Thursday. And the Torah would be given on Friday. But because of the additional day that Moshe Rabbeinu added, so it wasn't just the preparation of Wednesday and Thursday, it would be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the Torah would be given on Shabbos itself.
So according to that, the Torah wasn't actually given on Shavuot itself.
I guess you'd say that Shavuot on that particular year was coincided with Shabbos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very happy that Moshe made this decision, and he only came down on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after 3 days. Now, what generated Moshe's decision to add an extra day? And the Gemara says, Midaito, from his own decision. So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu embarked on a whole analysis. We have a principle in Halacha that a day begins with Laila, the Yom, the daylight hours come after Laila. Now, since Hashem wanted 2 days of preparation, and he only commanded them on Wednesday morning, it means that the night of Wednesday, right, Or L'Revi, was not included in their preparation. So Moshe Rabbeinu decided that in order to get 2 full days of preparation, he would have to add a third day. And once adding a third day, it would be the entire complete day. So it was not only Wednesday, which was only a half a day because they started the preparation during the daylight hours, and Thursday, which means they only had 1 day of preparation, they would need an additional day on Friday, which would be a full day, night and day. So therefore it wasn't enough for them to be mekadesh themselves, to sanctify and prepare themselves for 2 days. Those 2 days would not be 2 full days, because as we said before, the night going into Wednesday was not included in the preparation. Therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said, add another day in order to be mashlim, to make sure that you had the 2 full days. But the problem that we want to raise here is that if this is so, if the command came on Wednesday, and Moshe Rabbeinu figured out that you needed 2 full days, and therefore Wednesday cannot be included because it was only a half a day, then why is this considered midato? Tosas there, Masechta Shabbos, which you'll see in the second column here, says the following. That Yom Echad, the Gemara's language, Hosif Moshe Midato, seems to imply that Moshe Rabbeinu came up with this idea on his own. It was completely his initiative. But on the other hand, the Gemara gave an explanation, which is called a hekesh, because when Hashem says Hayom u'machar, we compare machar to Hayom, and just like machar tomorrow, meaning Thursday, will be a full day of night and day. So to Ayom, the other day has to be a full day. So then why, asks Tosus, is that called Hosef Yom Echad Midaito? He's not adding a day Midaito. He's just analyzing what Hashem said. And therefore Tosus comes to the conclusion that this Hekesh, in which Moshe equates Mocha with Hayom, is not a Drasha Gemura. Tosus says it's not a real technical Drasha, but rather it's an Asmachta B'Alma, which means that Moshe decided to add a day Midaito. It was his decision. He found an asmachta, you know, he found a little bit of something to lean on, so to speak, and a peg to stand, you know, to hang his hat on, but really it was midaito. Why? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu decide to add an extra day? What was moving him until he finally found an asmachta to support his claim? So the Kuznetzer Rebbe wrote a book called the Avodas Yisrael, and he says the following: Moshe Rabbeinu hayorotzeh shenekabel haTorah b'yom Shabbos. The goal of Moshe Rabbeinu was that the giving of the Torah should take place on Shabbos. Why? Ki yom kadoshu umurumam v'nisa. This is a holy day that's elevated. And kavanoso haisa kevan sheyikabel Yisrael satorah b'kedusha. If they would accept the Torah in that state of holiness, of exalted Shabbos, then Yishmu v'yikaimu osa li'olam li'olmei olamim. Their acceptance of the Torah would have an impact for all generations to come. They had to have been in that ambiance of Kiddusha, elevated by the Neshama Yisera, in order for them to have a Kabbalah that would have such a spiritual impact, it would enter into, penetrate the spiritual genetic code of Klal Yisrael, and would project them li'olmei olamim, that the Jews will observe the Shabbos. That's what it says in the Avodas Yisrael. Then he goes on and adds another piece to the puzzle. It says that Vayomer el ha'am heyu nechonim l'shloshes yom al tikshu el isha. Now in Chassidus, when you see a pasuk like this, you try to find some sort of symbolic meaning that goes way beyond the simple pshat. Meaning the pshuto shel mikra should be taken literally, al tikshu el isha. But on a symbolic level, this is called hafochba, you know, because it's pshat, remez, drush, and sod. So on a level of remez, the male and the female represent two forms of serving Hashem, two modes of behavior, so to speak. The man is considered the active agent, the woman is considered the makabelis. She's in a state of passivity. So what we're about to embark upon is not in any way pejorative to a woman. The word Isha here is used as a symbolic word for Kabbalah. And he says the following: Al tikshu el Isha. There are two different ways that you could receive the Torah. One is as an Isha, meaning this midah of Kabbalah. And then there's another way of an active Kabbalah, which is represented by an ish. So that when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, Al tikshu el isha, he's telling them to be active in and total, for example, in a complete Kabbalah Sator, not just a passive Kabbalah Sator. Now what does this mean? The Avodas Yisrael wants to analyze what are the different categories of Kabbalah Sator. He says one way of receiving the Torah is, you know what, the Torah is good for me. I'll get rewarded for it. It pays off. It's worth it. The deal is a good deal. The other way of Kabbalah Satorah is what's called Ha'oved Es Hashem Kedei Lasos Nachas Ruach LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not for its own benefit, but simply because this is what Hashem wants. That is a certain active way. If I give you something, do something for you because I know that it's beneficial for you, then I'm playing an active role of giving. If, on the other hand, I want to receive something for myself and my own benefits, that's called Kabbalah. That's called a passive reception. What Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the people, in order to prepare themselves for Kabbalah Satorah, is Al Tikshu Al Isha. Don't take Torah as if it's being given to you for your benefits. Look for the kickback and the reward. That's not the attitude that's appropriate for Kabbalah Satorah. But rather, the attitude should be purely for the sake of heaven. Means to do God's will. To bring what's called, in Hasidic terms, Nachas Ruach Lefanov. That's the Avodas Yisrael. Now we have the Shvilei Pinchas. He's bothered by the following question. The Torah doesn't look askance. The Torah is not negative and completely reject. The Torah doesn't reject the approach of a person who does a mitzvah. He learns Torah for the sake of schar. The Gemara in Pesachim says, "Li'olam yasak on the b'Torah mitzvahs afal pishalol lishma." Even if he's not motivated purely for the sake of heaven, he wants to gain the rewards, that's also recommended. Why? Because mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. That fulfilling or serving God out of a desire, motivation to enjoy the benefits and the rewards, that will lead him to the ultimate level, the highest ideal level of lishma. But we see clearly that even if you're involved in Torah learning in order to be rewarded, it's a good thing. It's not something that we're going to reject. Again, later on he's going to discuss a person who learns Torah because he wants to benefit from it, he wants to make money out of it, or he wants to be called a Rebbe and a Lufi and so forth. That's not what we're talking about now. Now we're talking about a person who is motivated because he wants the payoff, he wants to get the schar and the reward. And it's a positive thing. We're not going to reject him. We're going to say, go ahead. Because that level will reach to the higher level. So therefore, based on this principle, in the Gemara, in Pesachim, the Shvili Pinchas doesn't understand the Avodas the Avodas Yisrael. He says, wait a minute. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu rejecting a Kabbalah Satorah for the sake of my own benefits, right? That was called the Bechina of Kabbalah, for the sake of Kabbalah Schar. I want to receive the reward. Okay, that's Shalol Lishma. But Mitol Shalol Lishma, Bol Lishma. That should be a valid preparatory stage, a stepping stone to reach a higher level. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu feel that he has to go out of his way, Al Tikshu Al Isha? Don't receive the Torah like an Isha, like a Kabbalah. Kabbalah means for your own benefit. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu warn us and reject and invalidate that kind of Kabbalah Satorah? So the answer is, and this is a very fundamental principle, we even touched on it in our Pel Yoetz here, that when we're talking about the original stage, the beginning of a great enterprise, it's got to be done. It's got to be performed in the most perfect and ideal way. Ein roi lasos lechatchila a Kabbalah of what am I accepting, what am I receiving for myself? That's a b'dievet situation. We'll accept that because we feel that ultimately in the long term it'll be a stepping stone for a higher level. But now we're talking about Kabbalah Satorah. This Kabbalah Satorah is a brand new experience. It's a new level of Avodas Hashem. We have to work with all our might and all our soul to be Mekabel the Torah in the Tachlis Ahidur and Shlemus in the most perfect way. Because the way we accept the Torah is going to have an impact on generations down the line. Kol Dover, he says, Nimshach Achrei HaYisod. If the foundations of a building are solid, then the building will persevere. If the foundations are weak, then the building is going to be weak and it might even fall. When we build the foundations, it's got to be kesela eitan. It's got to be as strong, as powerful as a rock, as the rock of Gibraltar. And then we can hope that the building on top of this foundation will last forever and ever. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem." Yira is the fundamental yisod. Everything, Chachma Torah, everything is built on Yira. If it's Yiraso Kodemes LeChachmaso, then Chachmaso Miskayemes. The Yira represents the foundation, laying down the building blocks, and then comes Chachma. But if he doesn't have Yira, if he starts with Chachma, then the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us in Avos Perek Gimel, that Chachma will not last for a long time. And here you can flip your page to the second sign. He tells an interesting story about Rabbi Belzer, who was the previous Belzer Rebbe, that he was at a bar mitzvah, and he was there together with the Chabina Gaon, and they gave Birkas HaMazon to the bar mitzvah boy to recite on a kos. Now, after the boy finished Birkas HaMazon, he's about to drink the kos, then Rabbi Arla, the Belzer Rebbe, leans over and whispers in his ear to tell him that he should drink the entire kos, not rely on Rov kos. And the Chabina Rav took a glance at Rabbi Arla in an amazement. You know, like, what's going on here? According to the halacha, all you have to drink is Rov kos. So Rabbi Arla answered the following. The Pnei Yoshua asks, why is it that we commemorate the great miracle that of Hanukkah, that God brought about on Hanukkah, that they didn't have enough oil to light the candelabra? If all the oil was contaminated, then we have a principle called Tumah Hutcha B'Tzibur. Technically, according to the halacha, they were permitted to use polluted, Tameh oil for the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah. So what's this whole business about this great miracle that God brings about? It was totally unnecessary. And the answer is, because we're talking about re-establishing and re-dedicating Michadash, anew, the Heichal. The Yavanim, the Greeks, had contaminated the entire Heichal. Now we're up to the moment of Chinuch. Chinuch means when we set the foundations, when we dedicate the entire Heichal. Here we want to use Shemen Tahar. Why? Because Shemen Tahar is the foundations. Now for this Bar Mitzvah boy, there's also a Chinuch. This is also a first occasion. It's the first time as a Gadol he's reciting Birkas HaMazon and he's drinking the Koshel Bracha. Let's set the foundations in the most perfect way. The initial start off should be Mahajrin Mina Mahajrin. Let's not rely on Rov Kos. Let's do it in the most ideal way. And if this be the case, and we're looking now in the bottom right column, we begin to understand what the Avodas Yisrael is talking about. Yeah, it's possible to accept the Torah as a makabel, as a recipient for myself, for my benefit, of mitoch shelo lishma, and then it'll come to lishma. But that's a b'dieved. Now we're setting up the foundations, we're putting down the foundations, we're setting up the guidelines that the Kabbalah HaTorah at Har Sinai would have an impact for generations to come. Let's do it in a way that's shlemustik, that's complete, that's bilti l'Hashem levado, that's totally dedicated to Hashem. We want to bring a nachas ruach lefana. If we're going to put down the foundations with a shalol lishma and our desire for benefits, that's like putting weak foundations on and building a building that's not solid. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu warns the people, al tikshu al isha, don't take this approach of Kabbalah, of what's in it for me, of shalol lishma. But rather, this is the time of al tikshu isha. We want you to accept the Torah as a man who's giving. He's giving to someone because he wants that someone to benefit, to be happy and be satisfied. That's called lishma, l'shem shamayim. I want to do it for the sake of God. Again, God doesn't need it, but he gets some sort of nachas ruach from it. Whatever that concept means, that's again a mystical concept. Prepare yourself, says Moshe Rabbeinu, for the highest level, the ideal level of Kabbalah HaTorah. Shalal menas l'kabel pras. Not for the sake of benefit and gifts, but out of a sense of love to Hashem. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him Lech el ha'am v'kidashtem hayom u'machar ve'yu nechonim liyom ha'shlishi, which means prepare yourselves today on Wednesday, tomorrow on Thursday, and accept the Torah on Friday, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Hashem didn't say to him v'kidashtem shiyu nechonim liyom ha'shlishi. Hashem could have been very short-winded. He could have saved a lot of ink by just simply saying v'kidashtem and be prepared for Yom HaShlishi. Why did he add the words Hayom U'machar? He's actually calculating one day and a second day till you're ready for the third day. Just tell me, be ready for the third day. You didn't have to calculate and spell it out, first day and second day. So Moshe Rabbeinu analyzed the remez here. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us some sort of a clue, a hint at something that goes beyond. And the Pasuk says in Sefer Dvarim, Ushmarta sa mitzvah v'sachuka chukim ha-mishpat v'shanochi mitzavcha hayom la'sosom. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Erevin, hayom la'sosom ulemachar litol schara. Hashem is promising that today you'll do the mitzvah, tomorrow you'll get the schar. This is a certain attitude that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried about. The attitude of Hayom U'machar, those two extra words that we spoke about. Hayom, for the sake of L'machar. Moshe Rabbeinu said we have to add a third day. Because what Hashem is hinting at is he's telling you that if you want to be Nechonim, if you want to be ready for Kabbalah Satorah, then it's not going to be Hayom U'machar. It's not going to be Hayom for the sake of tomorrow. But rather, go beyond Hayom U'machar. This was what the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Almighty God, was hinting at to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kidashtem Hayom U'machar. Kiddush means when you go beyond something. Kiddush means when you sanctify yourself beyond what technically could be. Shedekadosh Es Yisrael in this area of Hayom U'machar. Go beyond the Hayom U'machar philosophy, the attitude of today, so that I get the schar tomorrow. Rise above that level. Be makabel the Torah l'shem shamayim, lasos ruach nachas ruach lefonov, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you and hinting, go beyond the hayom u'machar, b'yom ha'shlishi. Yom ha'shlishi is beyond. So again, it's not a reference to Friday per se. Well, again, on Pshuto Shel Mikra, it is a reference to Friday, but it's really symbolically a reference of going beyond the Wednesday-Thursday attitude. The Wednesday-Thursday attitude means I'm going to do this today in order so that tomorrow I'll be rewarded. Go beyond that. Get to the level of Yom HaShlishi. Don't be makabel the Torah on the level of what's in it for me. What is going to be my benefit, my schar. But rather, do it for the ultimate shlemus, the ultimate tachlus of Nachas Ruach Lefanu. Ad kan hakofa al. This is the first half of this essay. In the second half of this essay, the Shvilei Pinchas, based on the Marsha in Masechta Nedarim, is going to present four different attitudes for Kabbalah Satorah, four different types or modes of Kabbalah Satorah. And he's going to classify them. He's going to give them grades. The Gemara says in Nedarim, if you don't mind, I'll just take a minute to close the door because The Gemara says in the Nedarim four things. Let's count them. Number one, Asei Dvarim L'Shem Pa'olam, Daber Bahem L'Shma, that's number two, Al Taseh Atorah L'Zgadol Bahem, and number four, Al Taseh Kardum Lios Oder Bo. So the Marsha in that Gemara says that if we analyze these four elements, these four mandates, we can divide them into two groups. Two and two. Two of them are b'kum v'aseh, are positive. Aseh dvarim l'shem pa'olam, and daber bahem l'shma. And two are negative, are passive. Al tasem ator l'skalo bahem, v'al tasem kardum lios oder bo. So the Marsha says that Limud, with a capital Lamed, should be divided to four different parts or four different attitudes. And he says the symbol is Agadel or Egdal. Now Egdal is made up of four letters, and each one of these four letters has a lamed. What does that mean? If you write out these four letters in full form, you'll find a lamed in each one of these four. The lamed represents limud, meaning the attitude towards the study of Torah. So for example, if you take the letter Aleph and you write it out, it's Aleph Lamed Pei. And therefore it has a lamed in the middle. And you can do that for any of these four letters. These are the only four letters that have a lamed in the word of the letter. So for example, a gimel is gimel mem lamed, has a lamed. A dalid is a dalid and then a lamed, and then a tav. A lamed, of course, starts with a lamed. Says the Marsha, each one of these four letters reveals an attitude towards limud. What kind of motivation moves a person to dedicate himself to the lamed of limud, the study of Torah? The first motivation is called aleph. Aleph is miloshen aluf. Aluf means when I treat you as the highest esteem, the highest officer. This is a person whose attitude is lomed. He wants to study kadeshi kreuni rabbi and alufi. He wants to get that smicha. He wants to be able to post it and people talk to him in third person. That's what motivates him. Then we get to the level of gimel. Gimel is gmul. Gmul means reward. This is a person who's motivated to learn Torah because he wants to gain the reward of the next world. Then we get to dalet. Dalet is miloshen dalus. Dalus means poverty. He's motivated to study the Torah because he doesn't have a profession, he doesn't have a job, and this is the only way he can make a salary. And finally we get to Lamed. Lamed means limud lishma. He's not interested in being alufi, in being called the great. He's not interested in olam haba and all the rewards. He's not motivated by the money, the reimbursement that he gets, the remuneration for teaching. He is l'shem mitzvahs limud because he has avas Hashem. That's the highest level. And now we turn to page 3. In page 3, he summarizes the Marsha, and his final summary is here at the bottom of the first column when he says that the Lamed of Egdal, the last of the letter, represents the highest level of Torah Lishma. And let's take a look at the Lamed of Egdal. That Lamed is made up of two letters that are combined. The bottom part of the Lamed is a Chaf, and the top part of the Lamed is a Vav. And that means the famous holy number of 26, which is Havaya, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. If you take a look at the shape of the Lamed is the only letter of all the 22 letters of the alphabet that goes above all the other letters. And all the letters are either on the same level in terms of their gag, their roof, or there's something below the surface. Right below that level. If you have Sirtut, you know what I mean. The only letter that goes above the Sirtut line is the Lamed. That part of the Lamed that goes above is like a finger pointing to heaven. And it's giving you a message about Limud. Because again, Lamed always represents the study of Torah. The Limud of Torah should be Lishma. And that's the finger on the top of the Lamed that points to Shamayim. The Marsha says a big chiddush. He says that there are four levels of learning Torah, and they're all represented by the four letters of Egdal. And there are two letters of these four letters that represent Asei Tov. They have we encourage them. And that's the Gimel and the Lamed. The Gimel, you remember, reflects the fact that he wants to get Gemul. He wants to get rewarded. And therefore, the letter Gimel in this four-letter acrostic is a positive feature, because we had the Gemara that we mentioned earlier, Pesachim Liolam Yasakonim B'Torah Shalol Lishma, B'Shtot Shalol Lishma Bo Lishma. So we have a positive element in the Gimel, and he's doing it for the sake of Gemul. So we actually, on this level, will recommend a person to occupy himself with Torah and implement mitzvahs for the sake of the reward, the merits for Olam Haba. Again, it's certainly not the ideal level. That's the Lamed. The Lamed represents Lishma, where he's doing it of Avas Hashem. But nevertheless, Mitosh Shalol Lishma, Bo Lishma.
But the Gimel is better than the Aleph and the Dalet, because the Gimel thing is for Olam Haba, and the Aleph Dalet are for Olam Haza.
So wait, we didn't yet speak about the Aleph Dalet. So let's just see the next paragraph about the Aleph Dalet. He says the Aleph Dalet is something negative. It's an attitude that, and a motivation that would never be recommended. Why? Because the Aleph is, he wants to be Alufi. And the Dalet means that he wants to make money. Those two motivations, either the Alufi or the Dalet of money, are something that we have to exclude. Those represent the lotases. That's what the Gemara says in the Dorim HaMishtavish B'Torah. If he's using Torah for his own purposes, his own benefits, either because he wants to build himself up or because he wants to make a salary from it, that's not a good thing. So whereas the Gimel and the Lamed represent two levels of Shalol Lishma and then Lishma, and those are both on the positive side of the equation, and therefore, I say dvarim l'shem paalam v'dabru lehem l'shmam. The dalet and the aleph and the dalet are on the negative side, because these are motivations that are absolutely possible. They're totally invalid. They have to be negated and rejected. We're not going to condone a person or encourage a person to study for the sake of kavod or for the sake of making money. Those are, according to the Marsha, a use of the Torah as a karadom lachbar bo, as an atara lizgadol bahem, and those are totally rejected. What was your point again? Larry, you made a point that I didn't. Are we on the same page? Are we?
Yeah, saying that, okay. you're saying that the Gimel, he's looking for a reward, but a reward in Olam Haba, whereas in the Aleph Dalet, he's looking for a reward, but in Olam Haza.
Excellent. So that looking for or eager to be rewarded in the next world, although it's not the ultimate level, it's not the ideal, it's Shalol Lishma, but Mitok Shalol Lishma Bo Lishma, we're going to encourage and recommend that. It's a stepping stone until he gets to the Lama, the highest level. But the Aleph and the Dalet, that has to be completely rejected. So what the Marsha wants to say is that when the Gemara talks about two levels of studying Torah that are like Aleph and Dalet, and the Gemara rejects that as a Shevi Altas, avoid it at all costs, it's a negative. And on the other hand, the Gemara is telling you that there are two levels of the Gimel and the Lamed that are positive and should be encouraged. And this really is reflected in David HaMelech's famous prayer. In Tehillim Kuf Yutes, he says, "Gal einai v'abito niflos mitorah secha." What David HaMelech is saying is that he's out of his state of anova, of humility, he prays to Hashem, and he says to God, "You know, sometimes it's going to happen. The Yitzhar gets the best of me, and it's going to motivate me to study Torah Shalol Lishma, and Shalol Lishma means" for the sake of some sort of benefit and reward in the next world. So David HaMelech says the following, because on the top left of page 3, he says that I hope that if I am overcome by the temptation of the Yetzer Hara to be dedicated to Torah Shalol Lishma, let it be the letters of Gal. Right? He says, Gal Einai, Gimel and Lamed. Meaning, let it be the Gimel that will ultimately bring me to the Lamed. And I'll ultimately reach the level of Abito Niflos Mitorah Secha. I'll reach the highest level in which I marvel at the glory and the depth of the Torah. So that's Gal Einai V'Abito Niflos Mitorah Secha. The Marsha says that at the time of Matan Torah, based on the Gemara in Erevin, Moshe transmitted the Torah to Aaron, to the children of Aaron, to the Zekanim, and to Klal Yisrael. Each one of those groups, each one of those recipients, had to receive the Torah no less than four times. So let's take, for example, Aaron. Moshe transmits the Torah first and foremost to Aaron. Aaron takes his seat, and the sons of Aaron come in, and Aaron hears the second time, the second round of Torah. Then his Zekanim come in, Aaron hears the third time. Then Klal Yisrael come in, and he hears it the fourth time. And the Gemara in Masechta Erevin says, Mikan, from this, Rabbi Eliezer derived the conclusion, Chayav Adam L'Sharos L'Talmid of Arba Pa'amin. A person should review his lessons when he teaches Torah four times. Uma Aaron Shalom and Mipi Moshe. Umoshe Mipi Gvura Kach. Aaron goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the highest level of transmission that within the human sphere. And yet he had to hear the Torah four times. His hedgehog, one of us guys, one of us regular rank and file citizens, how much more so we have to hear the Torah four times. That's the Gemara in Erevin. So the Marsha attaches the following comment. He says, Ve'enyono nire sha'achar sh'nishchazik lem alimud begimul pa'omim. He says the first three rounds are really just stepping stones. You know, we're not there. You know, we haven't hit the Grand Slam. We haven't, you know, circling third base, but we're not yet at home plate. Because we've only gone through three times. And ultimately, what's really the punchline here, that's the critical moment, is the learning on the fourth round. That's the clincher. That's when you hit the Grand Slam. The fourth time around. And why is that? Says the Marsha, because the fourth time is when you really reach the level of the Lamed. The Lamed means Lishma. When you're on the first three rounds, you're still playing around with lower levels, with Aleph, Gimel, and Dalet. But when you finally prepare yourself for the fourth round, which is the Lamed at the end of Egdal, that's the Limud of Torah on the highest level of Lishma. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, Osi tziva Hashem b'yesahi l'lamed eschem, re'ei limadeti eschem chukim u'mishpotim kasher tzivani Hashem. So Chazal say the following. It's also Gemara Nedarim. Ma ani b'chinom af atem nami b'chinom. I teach you Torah, I don't ask for any remuneration. You too should follow in my footsteps, you should imitate me, and teach Torah, transmit the Torah free of charge. The Gemara in Durham establishes that if a teacher of Torah receives a salary, then he's violating this mani machina. The Gemara says that he can receive a salary on a level of, you know, of babysitting, so to speak. He's going to be paying for his shmira. He's taking care of the children for that period of time. This is what we call schar batol. Have you heard of it? In other words, let's say I could have been a doctor or a lawyer. Let's say I have even a degree. I could have gained employment. So instead of taking that money for that, you know, in that employment, I take the money for the Torah. But basically, fundamentally, you're not allowed to take Torah. You're not allowed to take reimbursement for the teaching of Torah. We can say means my responsibility is lelamed. Lelamed miloshon lamed. I have to give you the lamed of Torah. I have to bring you to the highest level, the fourth level, the level of Torah lishma. And Torah lishma means bechinam, where you don't desire and you're not motivated by any reimbursement. And take a look at Unkelus. On that same pasuk, Re'ei limadeti eschem, and the pasuk says, Osi tziva Hashem beisei lelamed eschem. If you take a look at the Targum, he says, Li alfa yaschon. What is Li alfa yaschon? Because the translation into Aramaic of lelamed is Li alfa. And we explain this Targum based on the principle of Li'olam Yasagon Torah Mitzvah Fopisha Lolishma. Li Alpha is a lower level. It's a level of shelo lishma. And even though we don't encourage you to reach, you know, to stop at that level, but we could encourage you to at least start that level as a kickoff. Now, there's a sefer called Truas Chen by Rav Gedalia Milinich, and he writes in his introduction, "Li'olam yasok adam ki betchilas darko shalom b'avodas Hashem and animna sheyasok miyad b'torah v'avod l'shma." When a person starts on a low level, he can't jump, you know, all the way to the highest level. He's got to go step by step. He should start with a level of shelo lishma. That's what we teach children. You know, we give them honey and we give them sweets and we give them candies and all that is shelo lishma. But we hope that from the level of shelo lishma, they'll reach the level of lishma. So at the beginning of our stage, our first stage of Osek B'Torah, shelo lishma, it's the Aleph Gimel Dalet. Here we're turning to page 4. But ultimately, we want to get to the fourth letter, the highest level of the Lamed. And that's what Unklus is telling me. That Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu declares, Osi Tziv Hashem Esi L'Lamed Eschem. It's going to be a process until finally the culmination of that process is the Lamed. But if we haven't reached the level of the Lamed, then it is Shelo Lishma. So you might think, well, Shelo Lishma has to be completely excluded. No. Says the Targum, L'Lamed Eschem Li'Alpha Yischon. Li'Alpha means that even though you're learning at the level of an Aleph, right, from the word Egdal, the Aleph, which is Shelo Lishma, nevertheless, we hope that from the Shelo Lishma of the Aleph, you'll go through the Gimel and the Dalet, right, and then you'll finally reach the Lamed of Lishma. Moshe Rabbeinu adds one extra day. What was the message inherent in the extra day? We saw the Avodas Yisrael, the Koshnitzer, and he said that Moshe added an extra day that would be a day of Kiddush, that the people of Israel would sanctify themselves not 2 days, but 3 days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded him, V'kidashtem Hayom U'mochar. Hayom u'machar means Hayom la'sosim u'machar l'kabel schara, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to accept a preparation for Matan Torah, which would be a kabbal of shelo lishma, right, for the sake of Hayom l'machar l'kabel schara. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood that from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu added these extra 2 words, he meant to hint to the people that they should reach the third level, which means that they should have a level that goes beyond Hayom LaSosom Ulamach LaKamaschara. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to add an extra day. And that extra day means that in addition to Wednesday, there's going to be Thursday, there's going to be Friday, until finally they'll accept the Torah on Shabbos. What is it about Shabbos? Just give me one more minute. That Moshe Rabbeinu believes that they'll finally get to the level of Torah Lishma, of Kabbalah HaTorah on the highest level. As we said before, it was important, it was crucial from Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective that on this occasion, at this critical moment of Kabbalah HaTorah, the aspiration should be the highest level of Kabbalah HaTorah, the Chatchila, the perfect level of Kabbalah HaTorah. The ideal level of the Lamed, of the Lishma, L'Shem Hashem, L'Asos Nachas Ruach Lefanav, because that would impact on generations to come. Why then was Moshe Rabbeinu eager to have Kabbalah HaTorah coincide with Shabbos? In the original divine plan, it would be on a Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday. And the answer is, because the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, that what a person, a Jew, is endowed with on Shabbos is called an Neshama Yisera. It means that the person enters into a whole new realm of existence, a whole new ambiance on Shabbos. And as a result of this impact, this elevation of the Neshama Yisera, which is Echelek Eloka Mimal, he's able to overcome all the levels of goof, of material, physical pleasures. He's able to learn Torah Lishma. This is the impact of the ambiance of Shabbos. And if you take a look at the Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos, which is that capital number 92 that we recite on Shabbos, and that's dedicated to Shabbos. The word, the first letter, the Rosh Tevos of Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos, if you juggle them around, are Lishma, right? You have the Mem, you have the Shin, you have the Lamed, and you have the He. Shabbos Kodesh, because of its impact elevating the soul, is a perfect ambiance in which a person can dedicate himself to the study of Torah, to the service of Hashem, Lishma, because he's on that high level of spirituality. He's uplifted from the physical, material limits of this world. Murray, you wanted to ask something? So let's just, maybe we'll just finish up, because I'm always racing against the clock, but we really have a beautiful puzzle here with many, many pieces. The Ata, now let's take a look at something that's expressed by the Sfas Emes. A remez in the Torah, in the parasha of Yosef and Paro, it says, Rak hakise egdal mimcha. Take a look at that word egdal, right? That's the word, that's the key word for today's study. The Aleph, Gimel, Dalet, and then finally the Lamed. And according to the Sfas Emes, this pasuk is a remez to Shabbos. Why? Because on Shabbos we say in the Birchas Kriyat Shema, on Shacharis, we say, L'keel asher shovas mikol ha-masim, b'yom ha-shvi nis'alo, v'yoshav al kisei kvodo. What's unique about divinity on Shabbos is that the divine infinite being sits on the kisei kvodo. He is the Adon Kol. And that's expressed by this pasuk, Rak HaKisei Egdal Mimcha. It's a remez to Shabbos. And the key word is Egdal, which is made up of four letters, Aleph, Gimel, Daled, Lamed. The gematria of these four letters, if you write them out, b'meloam, is the same as Shabbos. And that's the remez that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rak HaKisei Egdal Mimcha. The Egdal is the same gematria as Shabbos. The Egdal represents the four levels of motivation for the study of Torah, culminating with the Lamed of Torah Lishma, on the highest level, L'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore on Shabbos, we have a tremendous propensity, a tremendous possibility and potential, if we exploit the Shabbos to its full-fledged, to be in the state of Egdal, to reach in that spiritual high of the Neshama Yisera, the Lamed of Avas Hashem, of Torah Lishma. He quotes now one of the early Hasidic sources.
Wasn't that Paro that said, Lokisei
Avdo? Correct. But according to the Sfas Emes, that's a remez to the Shabbos. Why is Hakisei Egdal a remez to the Shabbos? That Paro says, I'm going to give you the Shabbos. Were you here last week when we discussed about Shabbos?
Yes.
Yeah. So the answer is, because on Shabbos is Yom HaShvi, Hisala V'Yoshav Al Kisei Kvodo. So we see, even in the parasha of Paro,
but this Paro's words, I mean, how's Paro going to remember the Shabbos? I mean,
because Paro is going to grant us the Shabbos. Again, I'm not saying that Paro is a great tzaddik and he understands the implication of Shabbos, but every word in the Torah can be seen as an eternal message. We can take the words out of context.
So maybe Paro didn't say those words, but Torah put those words in.
Well, I guess on two different levels. On one level, you know, Paro is saying, Ein mikri Yosef de Pshuto, that you, Yosef, are going to be second in command. I just got the kisei above you. But we can take those words, as you say, out of context, and those are words that come from Ruach HaKodesh, that are encoded in the eternal Torah for all times, as a remez for Shabbos. But what is Shabbos? It's the kisei on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on Shabbos. And the Egdal means that on this day of Shabbos, we, the people of Israel, can achieve the highest level of Kabbalah HaTorah and Esek HaTorah of Egdal, which means we can go through all the stages of Aleph, Gimel, Dalet until we reach the highest level of Lamed. And just to try to finish this up, we want to add two things. Number one, the Tolas Yaakov Yosef. He was one of the great students, the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov. And he writes, Eitzah Yeutzah, Shemitoch Shalolishma Balishma Vazmala Adam Gam Limud Shalolishma. He says it's unbelievable. You would think that as long as a person is in stage number one, the preparatory stage of Shalolishma, he can only achieve a level of Shalolishma. No, it works retroactively. He says that if you climb the ladder and you are uplifted from the level of Shalolishma until you achieve the level of Lishma, then even the Limud Shalolishma is also elevated, it's also dragged along. That a person who's zochet to this highest level of Torah Lishma now fixes up, he rectifies and perfects all the Limud that he experienced Shalolishma. And if that be the case, then that's what Shabbos is all about. After 6 days of learning Torah, during the Sheshes Me'amaseh, he may have experienced or implemented the level of Torah Shalolishma, but now comes the day of Shabbos, and that affords us with the tremendous potential to be metaken all the limud of the first 6 days, and to elevate them totally to the level of Egdal. Egdal means the highest level of Torah Lishma. So now, if we dedicate ourselves to Torah study on Shabbos, we can achieve a tikkun of all the four letters of Egdal, and that means we can have a tikkun on all the Torah that we learned Shalolishma, as it were, elevating that Torah to the level of Lishma. And finally, Hosif Moshe Rabbeinu Yom Echad Midaito, the Degel Machna Ephraim, again, another one of the disciples of the Besht, of the Baal Shem Tov, says, Yodua, Mashalit Lomeid Torah Lishma, Hu Bevchinas Moshe. In other words, we can compare Moshe Rabbeinu to the level of Torah Lishma. Why is that? Because Lishma has the letters of Lim Moshe. And what that means is that if a person gains or achieves the level of Torah Lishma, then he has the koach of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the letters Lishma which are Lim Moshe. What does this mean? He says in the name of the Arizal, Vayelech Moshe Vayidabes Advarim El Kol Yisrael. Amdu Rishonim, Ma Vayelech Moshe. What does it mean, Vayelech Moshe? What's the significance of these two words? Vayelech Moshe means Halach Lo Lomo. Afal Piken, Vayidaber Advarim Ele. Moshe Rabbeinu, in a certain sense, had already left, he had departed from this world. He was living in a higher, eternal, or infinite world. Yet, he's still studying Torah with Klal Yisrael. This is the paradox of the Ari. The Ari says that a person could be living in a higher world, and yet he's studying Torah, and that Torah is Lishma. When a person studies Torah Lishma, then he becomes identified with the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu belongs to a higher world. I can, in a sense, I can clone myself. I can totally synthesize myself with Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama if I reach the level of Lishma, Torah Lishma. Lishma means Lamosha. I now become like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the epitome, the personification of Torah Lishma, and that brings the Neshama to a higher level. I can somehow link up with Moshe Rabbeinu's Neshama, or that level of Neshama, through the study of Torah Lishma. So why then is Moshe Rabbeinu the one who adds an extra day? Moshe Rabbeinu says that the extra day means that your Kabbalah Satorah be on the highest ideal level, the perfect level of Lishma. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu the one who, midaito, he understands that we have to add that extra day to create and transform the Torah, the Kabbalah Satorah, to that of Torah Lishma? The answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu himself, in his very essence, is the spiritual personification of Torah Lishma, Lim Moshe. And therefore, it's not coincidental that Moshe Rabbeinu wants the people of Israel to strive to try to attain that highest level of Kabbalah HaTorah, the level of Lishma. And therefore, in the last paragraph, the Torah ends with the letter Lamed. Li'ene kol Yisrael. Why? We have a principle, HaKol Holech Achar Achitu. Everything depends upon the final word, or in this case, the final letter. The letter in which the Torah completes itself is the Lamed. You know, a lot of people talk about why the Torah, Midrashi Chazal, why the Torah begins with a base. But why does the Torah end with a Lamed? And the answer is right here. HaKol Holech Achar Achitu. Ultimately, the entire Torah is meant to bring us to the pinnacle, the highest level of Torah Lishma, and that's the Lamed. Let's just repeat and review the two symbols of the letter Lamed. Number one, the Lamed is the only letter of the 32 letters. This you missed, Murray, before, so I wanted to review it for you. There's only one letter that climbs above the other letters of the OCLs, the other 21 letters. That's the Lamed. The Lamed has a pointer above the line, so to speak, that goes above the line. That pointer points to Shamayim and tells us that we should be totally involved in Avas Hashem in Lishma. The other thing about the Lamed is that it is a combination, a connection of two letters. There's a Chaf and there is a Vav. The top part is a Vav. And that equals 26, which is Yudke Vavke, the highest level of Kedusha, of sanctifying ourselves. So Asher Osa Moshe Li'eni Kol Yisrael. The Torah ends with a Lamed, but in the same Pasuk, the Torah mentions the achievement of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu achieved a great thing when he added that extra day, Midaito. He wanted the Kabbalah HaTorah should be on the highest level, on the level of Shabbos. Shabbos is the level of Hakisei Egdal Mimcha, ultimately culminating in the Lamed. Yehi Ratzon may be Zoche to reach this higher level, that our Kabbalah HaTorah should be like the Kabbalah HaTorah that Moshe envisioned for that day of Shabbos, which is the sixth day of Sivan, the day of Kabbalah HaTorah. It should be a Torah Lishma. It's great, and we accept Torah Shelo Lishma, all sorts of different levels, but the highest level is not what's in it for me, but how can I achieve my Ava, my love of Hashem, by dedicating myself to the study of Torah. That's where we'll stop.
No, of course.